Hello and welcome. God provides through your obedience, and He provides all our needs and all our wants when we desire to follow Him, to obey Him, and to walk in His ways. And so, we're in for a treat as we read the Word of God each and every day, as we root ourselves in His promises, in His goodness, in His mercy. And so, welcome everyone. So glad you guys are here. It's a new day. And new day is a new opportunity where we can glorify the Lord our God with our words, with our time. Hello everyone. Bren, Star, Quan, Zero, Dubs, Trina, Boy, and Jared. Welcome. I'm so glad you guys are here. And may God bless each and every one of you guys as we tune in to the Word of God, which is alive and powerful. There's no doubt that He's working in this place. And He is making way when we feel like there's no way. When we feel powerless, God still is in control. And so, right now, we are in day 2, where baby Pan comes, and he's right now 3 days old, came out in 22nd, and now he is here. So it's been an adjustment period. Yeah, there's going to be a brand new day of surprise. So last night, I got more sleep than before, 3 hours, 55 minutes. And so I was able to get rested, and by the grace of God, hopefully I can serve my wife today optimally and also serve baby Pan, but mainly my wife. And then she expressed some concerns to me, which I will apply to my own life as well. So, wow. I think we should get started just to see what God has to say to us, what He has to lead us to. And so, thank you so much. Brand new baby, yeah. Thanks for the congrats. So I'm doing well. I'm blessed. I'm highly favored. God is so good. Amen. And so let's read from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. And this is a new division where a new period of history begins for both Israel and Judah. King Ahab had died, and he left Israel weakened militarily, economically, politically, socially, and in all areas. He left it to be in ruin and destruction. And we can see that the true spiritual direction was totally absent from the nation's soul. And Ahab, he died on the battlefield, in a losing cause against Syria, and was succeeded by his wicked son Ahaziah. And sadly, Ahaziah, he continued to rule his life in wickedness. And so, what happened? Well, I believe he only ruled for 2 years. And then, tragically, he passed away. And so, now, that was under Elijah. And then, Elijah passes the baton to the next person. The baton to be a prophet of the Lord of God, Yahweh, to Elisha. From Elijah to Elisha. And so, now, Elisha, he just did a miracle where he saved the country of the Edomites, from the Moabites, by prophesying that God would protect them, and that God would be the one that wins their battles. And what happened was that there was the intense dehydration. Their animals, their cattle, their people, they were being dehydrated, thirsting for water. But yet, they could not find any. So, King Jehoshaphat pointed the other kings, to other two kings, to the right direction, to God's prophet. And Elisha was the one that prophesied that there would be a flood through the valley. So dig trenches so that when the enemies sees it, they saw blood. They thought the kings turned against each other, killed each other. And so they came in and went to plunder. But in the end, it turned on them and backfired on the Moabites. And they lost everything. And so now we're looking into this period of Judah, of Israel, how they were having patterns of inconsistent reigns that's continued. And it's going to be later on, about in chapter 8. Right now we're only in chapter 4. So we will get there. Amen. So God is good. And so this period covers around 55 years. From 850 BCE to 795. That is around 3,000 years ago. Or 2,800 years ago. And so this were years of Israel's downward spiral of disintegration. A spiral that would lead towards ruin and destruction and exile. And Israel's collapse would merely come sooner because not one single king of the northern kingdom ever trusted or led his people to trust the Lord. So welcome everyone. We're going to be studying into this section of scripture. A challenge that confronts a person with the awesome truth that he must turn away. You must turn away from wickedness and false worship. And you must turn to the Lord or face the inevitable consequence or terrifying judgment. You see, ladies and gentlemen, Israel is like a believer. Israel is a nation that reflects a believer's life today. And when Israel was rooted in the Lord, trusting in the Lord, listening and obedient to the Lord, then God prospered them. God allowed them to grow and be successful. But then the moment that Israel turned away from the one true God and worshipped false gods and went their own ways, then ruin and destruction came and destroyed the country from the inside out, economically, relationally with other kingdoms, financially, that's economically, militarily, destroyed them. And so we're going to look into this next part from 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Did I read it yet? No, not yet. Let's read it. It says, "The wife of a man from a company of prophets cried out to Elisha, 'Your servant, my husband is dead. You know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take two of my boys as his slave.' And Elisha replied to her, 'How can I help you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?' And the servant has nothing there at all. And she said, 'Except a little oil.' And Elisha said, 'Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't ask for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you.'" Whoa, I sense a great miracle coming. So listen carefully. "Shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars. And as each is filled, put it to one side." And she left him, afterward shutting the door behind her and her sons. And they brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But he replied, "There is not a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. And she went and told the man of God. And she said, "Go and sell the oil and pay the debt. And you and your sons will live on what is left. This is an incredible story of how God provides through obedience. When the servant was obedient to God by listening to the words of Elisha, then she was supplied by God's miraculous blessings, by God's provision, by God's wonders. You see, oil does not come out of nowhere. But for God, He has unlimited oil. He has unlimited resources. He has unlimited money, unlimited wisdom, unlimited power, unlimited glory. And He wants to share that power, wealth, and glory, and wisdom with you. And so, Elisha, being crowned, or being given the word from God, he was able to reply to this woman who cried out to Elisha. Notice that she did not turn to man first. She did not turn to other people first. But she turned to the one true God first, Yahweh first, Elisha. And she told of her situation. Even though God knows all things and sees all things, you can still speak your situation to Him just like this woman did. Because when you ask, you will find. When you seek, you will. When you ask, you will receive. When you find, you will receive. Oh man. When you ask, you will receive. When you find. Oh, okay, I know. Seek and you'll find. Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. And knock and the door will be opened unto you. Amen. And so we ask. We have not because we ask not. And that's why it's so important that you ask God and speak to Him and talk to Him about your every need. You see, I am powerless. But by God's grace, He empowers me. He empowers me to speak to you. He empowers me to have energy, to work for His goodness, His will, and for baby Pan as well. And so, this wife came to Elisha, saying that your servant, my husband, he passed away, and you know that he revered the Lord, but now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as slaves. Now creditors are like those credit card companies where they give you a loan, and if you're not able to pay up, then you owe them other things. Maybe there's a collateral, like your bank, like your house. And in this case, it is her boys, and they're here to take away their life, away from the mother. And saying, you know, they're going to be slaves. Slaves to, not the Lord, but to subject to whoever the creditors want. And this is important for us. Because God told us not to be, want to take credit. Not be ones who take loan. He says, you shall lend and not borrow. God calls us to be lenders, to give, to be generous, and not borrowers. Now, I'm not saying you can't do credit cards, you can't do loans, but as a believer of Christ, you must hate loan. Hate debt. You must not and reject. You must say no to debt. Pay it off as soon as you can. Because debt, it's a trap. Debt shows that you are owned by someone else. And in this case, the wife of the man who served the served God or revered God, he was in debt to the creditor. And so we say no to debt, even when it means not getting that next Lambo, not getting that next house, not getting that upgrade in your life. We say no to debt because we know debt is a trap. And we know debt is not ultimately gonna satisfy you. The only person who can satisfy you is our Lord, our God, our Savior. Hey, you can feed him here. Anyways, and then Elisha, he responded, how can I help you? You tell me what you need. Tell me what you have in your house. What can you give? And the servant says, I have nothing. I have nothing to give back. I have nothing to pay back. And now they're going to take my two sons as his slaves. He's going to work them. He's going to use them for his own benefits, for his own desires, not for the desires of God. Oh, well, maybe if he believes in God, he may, but that's totally out of your control. And so we must absolutely walk in the ways of God and be obedient and allow him to be our Lord, our Savior. Amen. Jesus. Yeah, thank you so much. And so now we have the baby pan in here. So it is a blessing to have this baby. A blessing. And so thank God for everything he's given us. And we don't take any of this for granted. So Elisha, he replied to her, how can I help you? Because Elisha actually wants to help her. And he wants to be there for her. And he wants to give her the blessings that only God can give her. Because she seeked God first. She did not seek man first. So you want to put Jesus first in your life. Jesus first forever. Amen. And so, she said she had nothing except a little oil. Oh, well, you have a little oil. Now, having little oil, what can she do with that little oil? Almost nothing, right? She can sell it and gain a few pennies, but it won't buy the life back from her and pay back the creditors. It won't satisfy the debt that was owned and owed by her. And so Elisha said, oh, you have little oil. Now go around and ask all of your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just ask for a few, but ask for a lot. She said, don't withhold in asking for those empty jars. So now he's actually saying, okay, you have little oil. Now, the next point, he didn't tell her exactly what would happen. We know that later on, with these empty jars, these will be filled with abundant amount of oil. With oil that is so abundant that it pays off all the debt in her household, which saves the lives of her boys so that they don't have to go to her creditors. And so, sometimes God asks you to do things and it doesn't even make sense. It doesn't make sense in your mind. Logically, you don't know what's going to happen next. Elisha said to go, take action. And when God tells you to go and take action, you have a choice to go and be obedient, or to stay and do your own thing and do your own desires. What do you choose? What did the woman choose? The woman chose to go. And so she left Elisha. And then she collected the jars. And she set the jars aside. And then she did as Elisha asked. When he asked her to go inside, shut the door behind you, and your sons, pour oil into all the jars. So he said, don't just collect a few jars, but collect several jars, as many as you can. And she has jars. And as she left and she shut the door behind her and her sons, people brought jars to her. Who brought jars to her? Her neighbors brought jars to her. And she kept pouring and pouring. You see, this was not meant to be done alone. This was meant to be done in a community, with your neighbors, with people who would actually come alongside you and give you what you need, those empty jars, so that you may be blessed with a full jar at the end. You see, in verse 6, it says, when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But he replied, there is not a jar left. And then the oil stopped flowing. The moment there was no more jar, no more space, was the moment the oil stopped flowing into the jars. The moment the oil stopped overflowing. And so that's why we must continually empty ourselves, continually give to God what is His, because the Lord our God, He anoints your head with oil, and then your cup overflows. Your cup is not just half full, not just 10% full, not just full, but it's overflowing, overflowing. You see, God is a God of overflow. He wants to give you overflow, just like He gave to this woman overflow. And as they have empty jars, she just kept pouring and pouring and pouring more and filling every one of them too full. And likewise, God is able to do the same in your life. He is pouring so much in your life that it overflows in your life. The windows of heaven open, and the financial anointing, the wisdom anointing, the power anointing, the relational anointing, the healing anointing comes upon you. And the windows of heaven, it's actually, the translation means levee. And levee is the thing that keeps the flood from flooding the country. You know why Katrina happened? Because the levee was not able to hold off the water, the flood. And the water came over the levee. And it overflowed and flooded the whole region. And so this overflowing power, glory, goodness, mercy, love, joy, peace of God, it's overflowing, abundant, more than enough. And it's for you as well. And so, you must obey God, even when you don't understand exactly why. If He calls you to gather and ask your neighbors for help and to go, then you should be obedient. Because if this lady was disobedient and did not go and ask her neighbors for empty jars, then this miracle would not happen. If she did not go by faith, trusting in Elisha, then she would not have seen this miracle happen. And so in order for God's miracle to happen, His overflow to happen in your life, you have to walk by faith and not by sight. You have to trust in the Lord and walk in obedience to God. Only then will He be able to open the windows of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, the levees of heaven to overflow you with His blessings, His kindness, His overflowing anointing upon your life. And so she was obedient. And when all the jars were full, she said to her son, bring me another one. But her son said, there is not a jar left. All your neighbors, they gave you all the jars that they were able to give you. And we were able to collect all the jars. And so the son was in on it, helping. And then the neighbors were in on it. And with all that, God was able to bless her abundantly with four jars. We don't know exactly how many jars, but all the jars that were given to her were full and were able to pay off the price of the creditors. And then she went and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, "Go and sell the oil, pay off your debt, and you and your sons can live on what is left." You see, the debt that was paid was not just covered by the jars of oil, but there was also abundant amount of oil that went beyond the debt that was paid. And so Elisha was saying, you and your sons can live and can survive on what is left. You see, God supplies all your needs. He is El Shaddai, God of more than enough, God Almighty. He's Jehovah Jireh, God who meets all your needs. And He is that same God to this lady, the same God of Elisha, who is the same God that we serve, the same God that we follow, the same God that we trust. Amen. And so we must be obedient to the one true God, obedient to His promises, obedient to His word, obedient to His commandment. And what is the greatest and first, number one commandment in the word of God? It's repeated in the Old Testament, repeated in the New Testament, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is to love your neighbors as yourself. Amen. And so, as we read this word, we know that God supplies all of our needs. And when I was lost, I was broken. I did not have direction in my life. I did not have work in my life. I did not know where I was going. I was in deep isolation in my life. There is no way that I can get out of this trap by my own power. But when I turned to God, His divine intervention happened in my life, and He set me free from the darkness, from the bondage of sin, and brought me into His glorious light, into His goodness, and given me a family, given me work, given me more than enough. You see, God is a God who gives us more than and abundantly more than we can imagine or we can ask for. He knows exactly what we need, but He doesn't just meet our needs, but He goes beyond our needs. Now, there are debts in our life that must be paid. And that debt, that wage, is the wages of sin. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And sin is the thing that separated us from God, because God is perfect, holy, without sin. And we are sinful, imperfect. We make mistakes. And that sin is a barrier. No matter what we did on our own power, we cannot get to God. We cannot buy our way to God. We cannot work our way to Him. But God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Whoever shall believe in Him, have faith in Him, trust in Him, shall not perish, shall not die, shall not go down to ruin and destruction and have eternal separation from God, but have everlasting life, eternal life with our Lord our God. And that debt is paid through the blood of Jesus Christ, through His love, because there's no greater love than this, but one to lay their life down for another. And that is exactly what Jesus did. He laid His life down for you. He laid down His divinity, His glory, His holiness, oh well, he's holy always, but his wealth and everything, he gave it up, went from heaven to earth, so that you can go from earth to heaven, so that you may be able to access into his heavenly presence. You see, without Jesus, we are powerless. But in Jesus' name, you have power over this sin, over this death. He conquered sin and death. He rose from the dead after being buried for 3 days, after being beaten and mocked and whipped for us, for our transgressions. And so, now, he gives us, he ascended to heaven. Not only does he give you salvation and access to the Heavenly Father, but he also leaves you with another gift, a great gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who lives in you. The Holy Spirit who is God. His presence in you. Heaven in you. His power in you. This is our Lord, our God, who gives you more than enough. And that Holy Spirit transforms your life. He guides you, leads you through the difficulties of life, so that you don't have to walk alone, so that you can walk in his presence, in his goodness, in his love, so that you can walk in his truth. And that Holy Spirit is such a wonderful gift. I cannot have asked for more. And that Holy Spirit is here in this place. That Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost of the Lord, is here moving your life so that you may be healed, so that you may be recovered from this difficulties of life, from being hopeless, and that you can resist the devil from entering into your mind and saying, you are unworthy, you're not good enough, you're a failure, you cannot make it. No, you'd cut all that out because God says, you are worthy, you are loved, you have more than enough, and all will be well when you trust in my will, in my plans, and you walk in it. You walk in my ways because I have good plans for you. There is no greater love than this, but my love for you and my plans for you and my thoughts for you and my ways for you is so much better than walking in your own ways and walking in the ways of the world. Because the world is only temporary. It can only satisfy you for a short period of time. And for eternity, it does not satisfy. So only God can satisfy you for eternity. Amen. And so, what reflections can we see? There's an unexpected instruction. Unexpected instruction from Elisha to this poor widow. And she is at risk of losing her own sons to a creditor. And Elisha directs her to go throughout her neighborhood and borrow as many jars as possible. Don't just borrow a few, but as many as possible. And then she is to pour her only jar of oil with little oil. And in each of them, in behind closed doors. And the instructions are unexpected and without additional context. And during uncertain times, you may find God's commands similarly unusual. However, let us remember that if you do not trust the scripture because it accords with worldly logic, then you trust scripture. Well, it reminds you not only to trust scripture because it aligns with worldly knowledge, but you trust scripture because you trust that God will provide and supply all of your needs. Because God is the one that speaks it and promises it and lets you know that it is his word and it is his goodness. So when you follow God's instruction and you're obedient to him, then you will know that he cares for you and he desires for you to flourish, for you to have success, for you to overflow with his love, with his joy, with his eternal peace. Amen. And then we also look into this and we see that obedience reveals faith. The widow obeys Elisha's instructions, and every jar her son brings is filled to the brim from a seemingly endless oil supply. And the outcome explains the nature of Elisha's instructions and evidence of both God's power and woman's faith. You see, it was by faith she was able to see the miracles, the power of God. Faith in God's word. Faith in God's power. You see, how can she have little oil in one jar and fill many, many different jars to the full? She can't do it. But God can. Jesus is able to. And so you may expect God to act powerfully on your behalf in dire situations. But God also expects you to show evidence of your faith in Him. For the widow to gather jars from her neighbors and to pour out oil from her insignificant supply required faith. And her obedience to Elisha's instruction showed her trust in God. When we seek direction from the Lord, when you seek God's will and God's promises, you may come to Him readily to step into a life of faith. And may you experience Him as you live this life of faith. And faith is the assurance in what is unseen. Faith that your business will flourish. Faith that you will hit your goals. Faith that you will, if you are consistent in obeying the Lord, that God will make a way when there is no way. Faith that He will repair that relationship, repair and heal you. You have to be confident that He will provide for your every need. Amen. Wow. Incredible. Seeing how God is working. In this first miracle that Elisha worked in an individual case, very special case. And the poor widow's oil was miraculously multiplied. And you may be poor, but God is not poor. So when you rely on God, He pulls you up and He gives you more than enough. Amen. And so let this be a simple and straightforward message to you, that you can look up to God to have your needs met. No matter what needs you are facing, God has a heart full of compassion and reaches out to meet that need. And just like this widow in Scripture, if the need is financial, God wants to help meet the need for money. And if the crisis is loneliness, lack of companionship, insecurity, disobedience, rebellious children, poverty, lack of food, clothing, housing, unemployment, or job that pays too little, whatever the need is that you have, God, His heart aches and aches for you, reaches out to you in compassion for the widow or widower, and He wants to help you in times of need. But there's a condition. The same five steps taken by this widow should also be taken by anyone else who are facing in grave need. So listen carefully, because each step is so important. Number one, that of informing a true minister of the gospel and seeking his counsel. So you have to speak. You have to speak it. You have to ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. You have to inform and seek and ask a true minister, true prophet of the Lord, of the gospel, and seek his counsel. You see, you're not meant to live life alone. You're not meant to live on your own thoughts, your own ways. It's so important to seek the counsel of others, to allow the word of God to come upon you and to hit you in your heart so that you would follow. You see, it's not just seeking other people who want to tell you their own advices, because there are so many voices around you. Too many voices. And that's why I just say, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear any other voices except for the voice of God, the voice of my wife, the voice that matters, the voice who are of righteous ministers of the gospel. I only want to hear the voice of God. I don't want to hear any other voices. And then number two, that of seeking the help of neighbors, humbly asking for assistance. So after seeking God's voice, then you also seek the help of neighbors, of your family, of your community, of your neighbors, humbly asking for assistance. A lot of people are too proud to ask for assistance, too proud to ask for help. But you have resources around you. You first ask God, then you ask others. Then you have to seek privacy. Privacy in a sense of giving the glory to God and not pointing to yourself as being that super spiritual, supernatural, or deserving of help. What happened was that this widow, she closed the door. And when she closed the door, the miracles happened. If she did this in public, then the miracles would not have happened. So do this behind closed door, in giving all glory to God, in obedience to God, not pointing to yourself. Because if she did it in front of other people, it's like, whoa, look at this. It's overflowing with oil. Look, I filled it all up. Then she's taking the credit for herself. But no, don't take the credit for yourself, because you cannot do it on your own accord. You can only do it by the power, by the grace, by the obedience to the one true God. So seek privacy in a sense of giving the glory to God and not pointing to oneself, not self-gratifying, self-glorifying yourself, but glorifying the one true God. And number four, that of working personally to solve the problem. You see, you gotta work. You gotta go. You gotta be obedient to God to solve the problem. You can't just sit back and expect things to happen and to be served to you on a silver platter. No, it doesn't happen. Life doesn't work like that. You gotta work it. You gotta be obedient. You gotta put in the work. You gotta be intentional. You gotta go and get up and be obedient to Him. Not just sit back and be slothful and be lazy. No. You have to personally put in the work to solve the problem. And number five, that of following the counsel and advice of the minister and trusting God to help meet the need. You see, when she followed in privacy, when she put in the work, when she seeks the prophet Elisha, seeking his counsel and seek the help of others, then God was able, by obedience, to bless her with an overflow, with abundance, with more than enough, enough to pay off the debt, enough to live off of her, for her sons, enough, more than enough. And so these five steps of the widow, of the widower, must take priority in your life as well. You must trust in the steps of trusting God, and God will come through for you. So if you want me to repeat these, let me tell you, it's so important that there are conditions that you must put in the work. Number one, seek God first. Seek a true minister of the gospel. Seek their counsel. Number two, seek the help of neighbors. Not just do this on your own accord. Not be proud and say, I don't need anyone else. But be humble in asking for assistance. And they will gladly come beside you, teaching you of how to do the ropes or giving you what you need. And then number three, seeking privacy in a sense of giving glory to God and not taking that glory for yourself. Not saying you're that supernatural being. No, you're not. You're just living in the natural, seeing the supernatural happen in your life. Number four is to work, to go, to do it for yourself. To allow God to build you up. You say, number three is seeking privacy in sense of giving glory to God. Number two is seeking the help of neighbors, humbly asking for assistance. Number one is to inform a true minister of the gospel and seeking the counsel. And number five is that of following the counsel and advice. So you seek his counsel, but you also follow the counsel and advice of the minister, trusting God to help meet your every need. The widow shows us how to be humble and how God blesses and exalts the humble and how we should follow God's instruction. Some verse of God that really, really helps us engrave this lesson in our life. So important that we have the Word of God pour out to us and teach us and lead us. This one, listen carefully. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." You have to seek first what? Not man, not the world, not yourself, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't just say all these something, but all these things. He didn't just say some of these things, but he said all of these things shall be added unto you. Amen. Philippians chapter 4 verse 19 says, "And my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ." Wow. He will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Jesus Christ. And then Deuteronomy chapter 10 verse 18 says, "And he executes justice for the orphan and widow and shows his love for them, for the alien, by giving him food and clothing." Amen. Wow. Psalm chapter 10 verse 14 says, "You have seen it. You have beheld mischief and vexation to take it into your own hand, and unfortunately commits himself to you. And you have been a helper of the orphans." And the unfortunate commits himself to you. So when you commit yourself to God, walking by faith and not by sight, then he will continue blessing you, being with you in every step of the way. Psalm chapter 68, verse 5, "The father of the fatherless and the judge of the widows is God in his holy habitation." Wow. God is the father of the fatherless. He's the judge of the widows. He loves you. Someone asked, "What is that sound? A baby?" Yes, it's a baby. Newborn baby. June 22nd. I have a new baby called Baby Noah. Baby Pan. He came out. He's been crying a lot. It's been sleepless nights. It's been tough. But all glory to God. And so, may God bless us and continue walking with us. But the show must go on. Should I carry the baby? Okay. Psalms chapter 68, verse 19. It says, "Blessed be the Lord who daily bears our burdens, the God who is our salvation." You see, God daily, not just week, like not just once a month or once a week, but he daily bears your burdens. And God, who is your salvation? He's your salvation. Salvation means you are saved from eternal separation from God. Salvation means that you have that eternal life in him. Amen. So all glory to God. We're going to continue. And Psalm chapter 132, verse 15. "And I will abundantly bless her provision, and I will satisfy her needy with bread." You see, God will daily load you with benefits. He will give you what you need to satisfy you with bread, with living water, with the bread of life. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. And then Psalms chapter 146, verse 8 to 9. And the Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises up those who bow down. The Lord loves the righteous, and the Lord protects the strangers. And He supports the fatherless and the widow, and He thwarts the way of the wicked. Wow. You see, the same Spirit that God has given us is the same Spirit that literally opened the eyes of the blind, healed the lame, and also healed the lady who was bleeding profusely. That same God who raised Jesus from the dead, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, now lives in us, now is given to you. You have power in you. You have glory in you. You have the presence of God, heaven, in you. And so this God that we serve, He opens your eyes. He heals you. Those who are humble, those who bow down, for those who do not live by pride, but by faith. The Lord, He loves the righteous. He protects the strangers. He supports the fatherless. He supports the widow. And He thwarts the way of the wicked. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Wow. He will make your path straight. You see, our life, it's just like ups and downs. But when you walk in the ways of the Lord, your life becomes more stable. Your life becomes a straight path. Your life is not just full of crookedness and full of traps that you keep on falling in and trying to get out of. Your life is a straight path when you trust in the Lord with all your heart and not leaning on your own understanding. You see, if you lean on your own understanding, your own sight, and not by faith, then you will run into so many problems. Then you will not be living your life optimally. But God is the one that allows you to live your life optimally. God is the one that allows you to be efficient, effective in your life. He's the one that allows you to reap the benefits of following the one true God. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 25. And the Lord, He will tear down the house of the proud, but He will establish the boundary of the widow. God will resist the proud. He will destroy the house of the proud. But He will establish the border of the widow. Establish the ones who are humble, who are the ones that are asking God for help, who are asking, and they will receive, who are seeking God first, and His kingdom, and His righteousness. And He will add all things unto you. And Jeremiah chapter 49, verse 11. Leave your orphans behind, and I will keep them alive, and let your widows trust in Me. You see, back then, even today, there are a lot of people, a lot of children who are being orphaned, who are being abandoned. Back when I was in high school, I actually led orphanage club in my school. I led as a chairman of rummage sale. We did flea market, we did book sales, and we did sales in order to fundraise for the orphanage club, fundraise our initiatives for the trips that we take orphans out each month to different places in Taiwan, to teaching students in blind school every Friday. I was involved in all that. And it showed God's love for these children, that they are not abandoned, that they may seem helpless in the sight of society, But God has not let them down. God comes through for them. God loves them. And God is with you. If you're feeling lost, abandoned, without the ability to walk in the ways of God, you can ask Him for that. And He will give you the strength to overcome these traps, these sin, these burdens, these addictions, these relationships, these financial crises that is in your life. But you absolutely must talk to God first. Go to Him in prayer. To Him in with a gratitude, heart of gratitude. Thanking Him for everything that He's given us. And when you walk with Him, you will be sure that He will come through for you. Amen. So praise the Lord. So listen, guys. Listen carefully to these application questions. Reflect on it. Hear my story. Hear your story. Share your story. Which of God's commandments does your logic find difficult to accept? Which of God's commandments does your logic find difficult to accept? You see, when God said He would supply all my needs, I had to trust Him. When He said that I have to walk in His ways, that I have to start from ground zero with my social medias, I had to trust in Him. The beginning was hard, but once you get the ball rolling, it gets easier. It gets better. The Ten Commandments, loving God, loving others, loving your enemies. These are difficult. These are not easy. What fruit has obedience to God borne in your life? And now we're at 800,000 plus people on YouTube. We got heading towards 10,000 on Instagram. Facebook, still a flop at 500. Snapchat, heading towards 30,000. TikTok, we're staying at 60,000. What fruit? When you follow in the ways of God, you accept the Holy Spirit in your life. Then you also allow Him to transform you. And then you also receive the fruit of the Spirit. Bear the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness. The fruit of the Spirit is what the people on earth longs for, but cannot satisfy. Only God can satisfy. And that's why we follow in His ways and allow Him to do His work, His plans in our life. Because we know that God bears good fruit. Amen. And number three, how do you respond to your most recent difficulty? Number one, I'm responding with prayer, and more prayer. I cannot do this alone. We have a new baby. Baby never stops crying. He keeps crying. And I just say he is training his vocal, his respiratory system, his speech. He's training it so that he could speak. But I don't know, he just keeps crying. Crying that it drives people crazy around me to say so many negative things. But, and that impacts me as well. But I know, in the end, this baby boy will grow up, will be fine in the long run. And he's just going through some tests and trials right now, so that we can see exactly what happens, what works with him. It doesn't happen overnight. Rome was not built overnight. Taking care of a man does not develop overnight. A boy does not appear overnight, not just from baby to a boy to a man. No, it's not overnight. It takes time. It takes patience. It takes love. It takes diligence. And so may the grace of God continue to lead you towards the right direction. May you continue living in faith. And then number four, what does it reveal about your faith? I believe that God, He's a God who blesses, a God who cures cancer, a God who heals, for He is the great physician. I believe that God is the one that makes a way when there is no way. God is the only one who can give you that everlasting peace, everlasting joy, everlasting love. I believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus is the way. We cannot work our own way to Him. We cannot go through any other rituals, any other religions to get to Him. You must have a relationship with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And He is coming. And He is calling you to a relationship with Him. So if you want to give your life to Jesus, say this prayer with me. And we'll say another prayer for overall as we close. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. I'm powerless without you. I'm like this widow with so few things. And I need your grace. I need your mercy. I need your provision. So I cry out to you. And I ask you, God, to come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior as I commit my life to you 100%. To reading your word, praying to you every day, building your kingdom, your community, your church. I'm committed to you because I know you came from heaven to earth to die for my sin, raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven, giving me salvation, defeating sin and death, giving me more than enough. Lord, I thank you. I trust you. In Jesus' name, amen. And Lord God, in Jesus' name, I come to you. I thank you for your wonderful blessings upon my life, upon the lives of other people here. Thank you for your word, for it equips us, leads us, teaches us, and shows us the right way in our life. Lord, we cannot live our life without you. So Lord, I call upon you for your impartation of your wisdom, understanding, knowledge, protection, provision, patience. Be upon each one of us. Everyone under the sound of my voice, be blessed in the name of Jesus. And may you see Him each and every day as we go through this live stream together. May we journey together. In Jesus' most holy name, amen. Amen. And it's okay to cry. It's okay. Elevated Ego says amen. Ginger Hugs 02, thanks for the follow. From Missouri, thank you. Cynthia Villas from Arizona, welcome. Geist, thanks for the follow. Christine, thanks for the follow. Welcome, may God bless you. Loreen says amen. In Jesus' name, peace. Amen. Iris, thank you for the heart puff. May God bless you. Zachary, God bless you. Cody and James, God bless you in Jesus' name. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have an appointment with a doctor to go to check up with a baby pan. And may God continue blessing you guys, being with you guys. May you walk in His ways, trust in Him, allow Him to build you up. Amen. And so, Tammy, amen. Loreen, yeah, God is good. So, we know that there is no doubt that He's got good plans. So, continue walking in faith and not by sight. Continue seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. Amen. Glory to God. God bless you guys. In Jesus' name, amen. Panda out for now. See you next time.